Joan Swirsky. It was exactly 1:38 a.m. on November 6, 2024, that Brett Baer on Fox News said that it was clear that the next president of the United States of America would be Donald J. Trump. Not taking a micrometer of credit away from President Trump 47 and his epically tireless, passionate, often hilariously funny, and brave, in spite of three assassination attempts and then a fourth death threat, countrywide, night after night, week after week, month after month, year after year campaign. Whoever coined the word superhuman had a person like Trump in mind. But I have to give the lion's share of the credit for President Trump's decisive, stunning, overwhelming, crushing, thunderous victory to the historically astute, paying attention, loving our country American public. When you think about it, it is really so understandable. For the past 4 years, hardworking Americans resented spending their the 8th to the 10th of December 14-hour days, more if they have two jobs, working their butts off, only to have their taxes and food prices and gas prices and regulations raised, and crime off the charts, and for what? To send upward of $175 billion to the Zelensky grifter in Ukraine so he can buy yet another pricey villa and another yacht? To send not millions but billions of their hard-earned tax dollars to the murderous, Jew-hating, Israel-loathing jihadist mullahs in Iran so they can put their, ahem, leaders up in decadently luxurious hotels in Qatar? And since October 7, 2023, to send more than $1 billion to the Arabs who call themselves Palestinians. You know, the cheerleaders of the serial murderers known as Hamas and Hezbollah. It's not only the money. Surprise, surprise, American voters have both eyes and ears. Over the past 4 years, they, we, witnessed in real time a president with seriously devolving cognitive abilities, as well as erratic behavior, frequent absences, and a trigger temper that finally led the party bosses to force him to step aside. That was when all the eyes and ears of the American public witnessed the true spectacle of VP cum presidential candidate Kamala Harris. The last time I actually physically cringed at a public personality was when Hillary Clinton spoke Ebonics in front of a black audience. But old Hillary had nothing on the woman I've been calling Calamity for the past 4 years. Kamala's mantra, what can be, unburdened by what has been, is vintage communist dogma, as this commentator so eloquently explains. The media, a de facto arm of the Democrat National Committee, succeeded in hiding Calamity's deep roots and relationships with vicious anti-American and anti-Semitic radicals, as did her personal pastor, of all people. Please support the Virginia Christian Alliance website and community center. We would appreciate your donation. But as conservative commentator Ben Shapiro has said, you can argue against Trump, you can argue for him. But nobody can credibly argue in favor of Kamala Harris. The vote rig effort started early. One could quite accurately say that the rig started when business mogul Donald J. Trump came down the escalator in the Trump Tower in NY City on June 16, 2015, as did the fanatical obsession to remove him from the political arena, even before he crushed Hillary Clinton in the 2016 presidential race. Going back to 2020, Mark Alexander, publisher of the Patriot Post, spelled out the Democrats' vote-rigging criminal activity to defeat President Trump in devastating detail. And this year, thegatewaypundit.com has done yeoman work in exposing the sordid and longtime pattern of Democrat voter fraud. In this revelatory piece, a Democrat operative, caught in an undercover video, explains how the Democrats, allegedly, stole the 2020 election in Georgia, from kicking out GOP poll watchers to a nursing home ballot harvesting, et al. In the same vein, Major General Paul E. Vailey, U.S. Army ret, in a jaw-dropping article, describes exactly how Democrats steal elections. The Dems and the Chinese manipulated the voting machines in the 2020 elections in the key, swing states, using hammer and scorecard in a cyber attack against the voting machines. They will use it again in updated cyber technology to change the votes from Trump to Harris. However, we know how to throw marbles into their cyber attack this time. The story of treason, sedition, and the coup d'etat that ensued to cover up the Obama administration's illegal use of the hammer to spy on Donald Trump, Vailey continues, as a story you will not hear or see on any mainstream media outlet. Just as diabolical as this 17-minute video, in which Mike Benz, Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Communication under President Trump, describes an elite-backed war game, a secret Democrat plan, entitled Military Coup to Stop Trump. Too big to rig, Mr. Trump had his advantages. In a stunning reversal of decades-long backing, Ms. Calamity failed to win the endorsements of the Teamsters Union, the Los Angeles Times and the Washington Post, all bastions of endemic leftism. In addition, the largest Arab-American community, both Muslim and Christian, in the U.S., in Michigan, endorsed Donald Trump for president. And surprisingly but certainly not intentionally, Mr. Trump got a huge boost from none other than Barack Obama, the guy who is said to be engineering his defeat. Also, Mr. Trump received $100 million donation from the new Dallas Mavericks owner that calamity backer Mark Cuban sold his team to. I think this is called poetic justice. And America First Legal Foundation, headed by Stephen Miller, President Trump's senior policy advisor and speechwriter, has been unstinting in monitoring the voter fraud efforts around the country and successfully suing the criminals. According to the prediction of Wayne Allen Root, a conservative television and radio host, author, political activist and oddsmaker out of Las Vegas, Nevada, the Trump landslide was simply too big to rig. But he also predicted that a Trump win would mobilize the deranged Democrats to extreme measures, the most probable being nationwide riots, anarchy, looting, burning, and attacks on American institutions. This country could burn like never before in history, Root said. The silent majority. While the TV reporting on November 5 tried to be fair and balanced, it was clear after the polls closed that President Trump had ignited an electorate that had genuinely suffered through 4 years of skyrocketing food and gas prices, taxes, and strangulating regulations. And to add insult to injury, more billions, even trillions of dollars of taxpayer dollars were spent not only on five wars, count them, Darfur, Yemen, Myanmar, Ukraine and Israel, but also the crushing expense of upward of 11 million illegal aliens, all enjoying, thanks to the Biden-Harris government, pricey lodgings, hot meals, medical care, education for their children, iPhones and even monthly stipends that are higher than what American families and veterans receive. Did the Biden-Harris regime not figure that Americans would be saying to themselves, five wars, if she wins, will she double that or just throw in a couple of more, to six or seven wars? Will she institute a mandatory draft like she and Joe made the COVID shot mandatory for military people, forcing 8,000 to quit, but ultimately winning a huge settlement from the Department of Defense? In November of 1969, presidential candidate Richard Nixon coined the term silent majority. This referred to any large group of people who do not express their opinions publicly but object to or resent or hate what they are witnessing and experiencing and cannot wait to vote the bastards out, a rousing anthem sung by the Australian Spooky Men's Chorale. Here is a Trump ad from 2024's Silent Majority. What actually happened? 270 electoral votes is required to elect the president. By 2 p.m. on November 6, Mr. Trump had 248 electoral votes and Calamity had 217. Of course, Democrats were saying it could take 3 days, 6 days, 3 weeks to count the votes. But then Mr. Trump went over the top. All the TV analysts, from the left, right and center, were predicting a Trump victory and comparing it to the Grover Cleveland presidency of 1185, and then skipping a term until returning to the presidency in 1893. But Democrats have warned that they've already planned widespread protests if Trump declares victory. And many have vowed that even if Trump recaptures the presidency, his most fanatical adversaries, among them Congressman Jamie Raskin, DMD, will use every legal means to stop him from retaking the White House. And now that Bernie Moreno, RO, flipped the Senate to Republican control, Raskin is plumb out of luck. All of former President Trump's supporters and all of President Trump's future supporters applaud him and thank him, as the good garbage man he is, for literally taking out the trash. Joan Swirsky is a New York-based journalist and author. Her website is www.joanswirsky.com, and she can be reached at joanswirsky@gmail.com.